people worry that sustainable investing is less lucrative. But when you look at what long-term finances are, when you look at pensions, which, you know, for so many people, that's something that you won't be seeing the fruits of until decades and decades later. Actually, when it comes to that, fossil fuels are absolutely dead.
This is Climate Curious, the podcast for people who are bored, scared, or confused by climate change.
I'm Marion Pasha, the director and curator at TEDx London and the co-host of this podcast, alongside the amazing Ben.
Hi, I'm Ben Hurst, activist and advocate exploring what positive masculinities can look like and self-confessed climate normie.
Ben, I'm extremely excited for this conversation because I get to talk to someone who I've known for a really long time, but about something new.
I can feel that energy coming from you. I can feel that vibe, the excitement.
It's excitement. Here's a question for you. Do you have a pension?
Aha, yes, I do. I am victorious today. I do have a pension. And I think, should I say this on the record? I think that it's a green one. I think that it's like the good type of pension as well.
We're going to find out in this episode.
Oh my gosh, I shouldn't have said that. No, I do have a pension, I do. Okay. I don't really know what it does, but I definitely have one. My dad made me set one up.
I think that's maybe what most
Why is everyone laughing like their dads didn't make them set up their pensions? You didn't know what you were doing. Trying it.
I'm excited to have this conversation because I, much like you, think these things are kind of opaque. And, you know, if you listen to our series this season a few episodes ago, you would have heard from Mark Campanelli from Carbon Tracker, who also talked about like the global financial system and these big tools and mechanisms and all this kind of stuff that felt very, very big and very, very far away. And why I'm so excited that we have Anna Kadeva with us today here is because she's the lead of Money Movers. And you're going to talk to us, Annika, aren't you, a little bit about how these big financial tools actually have to do with us and have to do with the climate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's just get into it. I just want to get into it, Ben. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's no problem. Okay. Welcome. Hello. Nice to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm good. Thank you.
Okay. Tell us about, from your perspective, the role of money in the climate crisis. Let's get into it.
Yeah. So for many of us, we have bank accounts, we have pensions, some of us might even have savings. And we don't...
Some of us.
Some of us.
I mean, well. What a way to start. Continue, sir.
When we're brought up with the idea of saving and money, I think a lot of us still think that, you know, when we have a bank account, it's like putting money between the underneath the mattress.
Yeah. That's what happens. Is it not like that?
It's not like that.
Oh, my gosh.
And all the time, these financial institutions are doing things with our money. And if we knew what they were doing with it, a lot of us wouldn't agree. A lot of us would not be happy that our money was being used to fund the arms trade or deforestation or fossil fuels. And it never occurs to us that our money is doing this work on our behalves every single day.
So I think this is definitely something, like Ben, I also did not, before I started thinking about a pension, I did not really think about this idea that your money is doing something. I think when you don't have a lot of it, to be quite frank, you don't really think about it because you're not investing it. Let's say you're putting it in a pension. If we use that as an example, that is supposed to take care of you in when you get older, supposedly. We don't know if we'll even be around to have pensions by that point, but we'll come back to that. That's a whole separate episode. but tell us a little bit about how this is linked to climate and the scale that we're talking about.
So there are really huge international institutions, the scientists, the IPCC, the International Energy Agency, who have said we need to stop funding fossil fuel expansion. We just need to stop it. We need to stop it now if we were in any hope of reaching some of the goals, planetary goals. So we know that's true. And yet, in the last 6 years since there was a thing called the Paris Agreement, which is where lots of countries came together and said, yes, this is important and serious and we need to do things. Since the Paris Agreement was signed in 2016, banks, mainstream banks, have invested $4.6 trillion globally into fossil fuel expansion. $4.6 trillion. And that's the 60 biggest banks around the world, many of which you will have heard the names of. If you look at now, UK pensions invest £330 million into fossil fuel expansion. And so to put it in perspective, that's higher than the UK's entire carbon footprint. That's just from our pensions in the UK.
They're meant to be stopping doing this.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's really bad.
And yet when you follow the money,
embarrassingly bad.
The money does not say that they are taking this seriously. So, yeah.
I mean, that's the key, right? This episode is the idea of the pledges and the commitments and the speeches being important, I guess. But then when we look at actually what's happening, where the flows are happening, they're happening in the direction of continued fossil fuel investment and expansion.
Yeah, that's and it. Follow the money.
Follow the money. Actually, it's a phrase you've used, and I love that phrase.
Guys, I'm still rattled by the number. That's really bad. Is that not really, really bad? The arms trade.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Sorry. This is going to be one of those ones, isn't it, where it's like,
sometimes
deeply
I don't, sometimes
shoot,
I don't
man.
Tell Ben too much about an episode,
oh,
just
no.
so that he can be deeply, deeply depressed.
So I can be traumatized for everybody's enjoyment. Brilliant. This is bad. I'm not allowed to ask questions about specific banks.
So you can go and search, you know, who are the worst at investing in fossil fuels. You can go to websites, you know, like Bank Green or Switch It to look at your bank account. Like, people could do that right now. Go onto those websites and see what is my current account.
The front row doing it right now, frantically searching. Okay, right.
So there are lots of bad things that our money is used to invest in. When it comes to the climate, we're talking about fossil fuels.
Yeah. And deforestation. Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about the movement that you are leading, Money Movers, because I want to understand. I want us to move into a good place. So, yeah.
Quickly, please.
And just before I talk about Money Movers, our money is being used for all sorts of things all the time. So there are some institutions out there who are investing in really good things like renewable energy, you know, things that are climate solutions. And so that's the other thing here, that we need to stop funding the bad stuff and start funding the good stuff.
Right.
And that's happening. So I think that's actually a really important point, that is not all doom and gloom, but also especially for people thinking about this who are listening for the first time, this is the idea that, like, if we I'm just like using the pension as an example because I think it's like a really simple one for me, at least, is the idea here is that you are paying into your pension, maybe your employer is paying into your pension, that is going into a pooled pot of money with whoever your pension provider is. And then they invest that money in various ways to make money, which is what's going to be the thing they pay you back when you retire.
Yeah.
And it's that investment that can sometimes for some of us feel opaque. Like, we don't know where it's, or if we haven't thought about it, we don't really know what is being invested in.
Right. And that's what you were saying about putting money under the mattress, is it feels like when you're investing in your pension, you're just saving your money, but actually it's being moved around.
Yeah, okay, exactly. Right, so your money's being invested all the time. And that's, again, another exciting thing is that when you look at the impact, the carbon footprint of your pension, moving your pension can be 21 times more effective at lowering your carbon footprint than stopping flying, going vegetarian, and changing your energy supplier combined.
Mm. Say it again.
So moving your pension to a more sustainable pension can be 21 times more effective at lowering your carbon footprint than going vegetarian, stopping flying, and changing energy supplier combined.
That's the kind of stuff that I'm talking about, man. These are easy wins. You don't have to, you can still eat beef. this is brilliant. Just change your pension. We've solved it, guys.
For long-time listeners, done. You will know that Ben's primary motivation on this podcast is how he can keep eating burgers.
Yeah, I'm trying to solve it for us. Don't worry, I've got you.
But actually,
that's huge.
And in terms of how it actually affects our lives. I think for many of us, we wouldn't feel the impact on a day-to-day basis of switching our pension, whereas never taking a holiday using an aeroplane ever again, we feel that impact.
We would feel that very painfully.
Okay, this is quite exciting. I love it because I love it when we can start thinking about really making like an impact. Tell us, first of all, Annika, like you, TEDx organizer for many, many years ago, last time I met you, you were not doing this work. So tell us how you got here and tell us a bit more about Money Movers, because I feel like you've given us some, we're all paying attention now. So tell us a little bit more.
Because we can eat burgers. Tell us
Ben
more
can
about
eat his beef burgers. He's happy as long as he switches his pension. That's right, which he's already done, apparently.
I've done it.
We will be fact checking.
I knew I was part of the solution.
We will fact check this. We will fact check this.
So Money Movers is a movement of women coming together to talk about climate, to talk about money, and moving their money for the good of the planet, all through the power of coming together around dinner tables and Zoom rooms to talk about this stuff. And the reason that we're doing that is because once we realize the effect that our money can have, the power of our money when it comes to the climate crisis, there's lots of us who want to do something. There's lots of us who want to act. But the truth is that money is abstract, it's boring, it's complex, the ABCs of money. And given, you know, a Wednesday evening, would you rather be watching Netflix or looking into your pension or your bank account? You know, for lots of us, it's never going to get there as the priority. So what we have found is that by bringing people together in groups of people coming together to have conversations, you know, over pizza about pensions, people are much more likely to take that good intention, that kind of, I should do something, and translate it into action. And so over the 2 years that we've been running Money Movers, we've had 140 women in our pilots who have moved £1.2 million for climate action just through getting together for 3 evenings to talk about this stuff and to help each other take action. So it's really exciting to see what can happen when you've got that social accountability and that social momentum of doing it together.
Whenever I hear about initiatives that are like for women, I always, first of all, think, don't say anything. And then I think, I wonder what it is about women's situations that means that they need that intervention. Is there a specific reason why that project or the work that you do is targeted towards women in particular?
Yeah, absolutely. So women are 51% of humankind. But when it comes to using our power, when it comes to these long-term finances, we are being massively left behind. So, for example, 62% of women who are married say they leave their long-term financial decision-making to a husband or a spouse.
Oh, wow.
When it comes to pensions, there's huge financial disparities in terms of women. So a woman of my age is likely to have £145,000 less in my pension when I get to retirement age than a man of the same age and the same education levels.
Wow.
So there are these really big systemic inequalities when it comes to finances.
Right.
And when it comes to women feeling like they can engage with the systems, you know, if you Google independent financial advisor, you won't find people who look like me, you know, and we're on a podcast. I am a brown woman who, you know, looks quite young. You won't find that many financial advisors who look like that.
Right.
So these financial systems tend to alienate women. They tend to be patronizing. And so there's this historic disengagement from these long-term financial systems. And there is a resurgence. Increase now in the idea of female empowerment when it comes to money. That's great. Loads of women are suddenly realizing that actually they need to take control of their finances or take an equal, you know, share in financial decision making. But my question is, what's the point of investing in yourself if you don't have a planet to live on?
Yeah,
if you're not
question.
Investing in the planet,
good point.
You know?
Yeah.
So that's the kind of reason we're focusing on women. But we are also really excited about men taking action as well. And lots of people do the Money Movers program and then engage the men in their lives. You know, I have started to have conversations with my dad about his investments. And, you know, that's something that my dad is a fairly progressive guy. We've never spoken about that before I started working on Money Movers.
I love this so much.
It's a good, this is, I feel like this is good. I'm like, I'm optimistic about this. This is burgers for everyone. So when you move in the project, right? Sorry, this is a jumbled question, but in the project, when you move money or you're asking people to move their pensions from one pension provider to another pension provider, what is the difference between two pension providers? Like, is it that they move it because they're getting more money back, or they move it because they get less money back? I don't know why somebody would do that. Or is there like other motivations behind doing it?
Yeah. So just to clarify, the project isn't about telling people to do anything.
Okay.
So what we do is we train people up to host conversations and to host this 3-session program in their community with people they know. So that might be their friends, their colleagues, their neighbors, their family members. And over the course of those 3 sessions, people begin by starting to talk about big questions that we don't often have excuses to have the conversations about. Things like, you know, what kind of world do you dream of investing in? You know, what kind of world do you dream of for the future? You know, what do you know about where your money's being invested? How do you feel about money? Who are your financial role models? Like, for a lot of us, these aren't conversations that we've ever had before. Right. And so that's kind of what happens in the first session. In the second session, you then start to map out your money. You start to say, okay, where are my bank accounts? Where are my direct debits? Where are my pensions? Do I even know where my pensions are? You know, and you start to actually like map out these things. And then you map out what you know, what you don't know, what you think could be impactful, what could be powerful. And what's the one thing that you're going to do next? And then in the third session, you actually support each other to do that. So rather than, you know, kind of say, yeah, I'm going to do this and then forget about it, you come back and say, what did you do? And then someone says, oh, well, I tried this, but I got really confused when I started talking about when I started to look at the different pension providers. And someone says, oh, I found this piece of information. I found this website. And so you're kind of pooling your knowledge, pooling what you understand together to make the kind of getting started bit that much easier. Because so many of us, we might start to do this and then we get stuck and we get frozen.
I mean, this just feels so familiar, and I don't know if people here or even listening feel this way, but I remember I got to go to COP last year and went to some of the public workshops that they had, you know, in the Science Pavilion, or I can't remember what it was, in the Science Center. And one of them was around money and this, and I remember sitting there in the back thinking, that's it, I have to move. Like, I have to move, like, my pension. I have to move these things. Like, I, you know, this is, it's enough, you know, and strongly feeling that. And then just having no idea what to do with that feeling. Like, just, you know, kind of walking out of that room and being like, well, what now? And I love this idea that's exactly what this structure is trying to address, is that even those of us who know we should do things, it can just, money is just something that can feel very daunting. Like these financial systems, if you're not embedded in them in some way, they're really not meant to be easy to understand. Is that something you've come across?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think people have emotional stories with money. You know, especially, you know, some of those questions of my financial role models, there's such a array of different things that people say. So many people say, I don't have one. Am I supposed to have a financial role model? And, you know,
I don't have one.
That is literally what I thought when you said that.
I have a question. Like, let's do a little. Of the people in this room, who has ever thought they need to have a financial role model?
Everybody who has is scared to put their hand up. Don't worry. You're safe here.
Who has never thought of having a financial role model?
Wow.
I mean, that's like most of the room.
Yeah. And so then our relationships with money really are down to what we grew up with, what's happened to us in life. And so many of those things are deeply personal and deeply emotional. So yeah, we find that's a real blocker to action.
Every podcast needs a GOAT.
That's greatest of all time.
And ours is the Global Bank City.
City is TEDx London and Climate Curious's headline partner and has been with us every step of the way on this podcast, supporting our vision and encouraging us to be courageous and adventurous with our ideas.
Instead of your typical boring ad, we actually thought you might be more interested to hear about some of the initiatives City has played a part in.
With the support of the City Foundation, the British Asian Trust provides specialised business training to 600 young entrepreneurs so they can earn a sustainable income.
For example, Faria, a young woman facing barriers to independence, took the digital acceleration course and was able to launch a micro-enterprise online and on social media.
It's great to see projects like this supporting female education and encouraging financial independence, which helps build resilience to the impacts of climate change.
Nice one, City.
Thank you for making this podcast possible.
Now, back to the show. Correct me if I'm wrong. I want to ask a question. What is the impact of people moving their pension? So let's say you're with a pension provider and that pension provider is not investing in good things, and then you move it to somebody who is investing in better things. What are those better things, and what difference does that make for us in real time? Like, how does it actually make things better? Because you were listing bad things before, like really, really bad things that I would, me personally as an individual, I'd hope I was not complicit in, but obviously I probably am because of my pension provider. It's their fault. But if I was to change that, what would be the better versions of, like, how can your money be invested into better things? What are those better things?
Yeah, so I think some of those things are things that we know are climate solutions. So things like renewable energy, things like solar power, those types of things, in order to scale, in order to be able to be developed in, you know, places where they've got the ability to develop these things, but they need the financing, they need the investment. Those are the types of things that we could be investing our money in. Right. So that's one of the ways in which your money can have actively positive impact, and that's really important. And then the other piece is removing the what we call the social license from those fossil fuel companies. So if a pension provider has loads of people switch over from their regular bog standard pension to their ethical pension that actively excludes fossil fuels, then that pension provider is getting a really loud message, loud and clear, of people are moving their money. You know, this is something that we need to change, what are the choices we're making in where we invest and how we engage with those companies. So it then is this big message to companies of, this is what people want, and this is what our, essentially our shareholders are asking for. And so those pension providers aren't just sitting there investing the money, they're also going to meetings and voting on things at those companies and how those companies' policies operate. So there's a real kind of systemic shift from showing that we en masse don't want our money investing in the destruction of the planet.
That's
good stuff.
I mean, it is, and it makes me think about, like, the how the amplification that, like, this small action has so many of these ripple effects, right? Like, it's an amplified action. Like, it doesn't, you know, one, because in a way, we were talking about this earlier, like, once you've made that shift, you don't have to, like, keep making it, you know, it's another thing you have to keep doing. Like, once you've made it, you know, you want to check that obviously it is still ethically green and all of that with the provider. But there's something there, I think, that's quite attractive about this as a solution, because it feels like once you've made the effort to move, it's done.
Yeah, and there are loads of places to start. So you might not have a pension, or you might not feel able to move that for whatever reason, but you've got a bank. Most of us have bank accounts. And so again, that's a simple switch we can make that, again, removes that social license from banks who are still thinking they can get away with funding fossil fuel expansion.
I'm curious to know, at Money Movers, what, because this is what I thought you were going to ask, but what's the goal?
Where is,
like,
it
where
going?
Where, like, what is your ambition here? Like, how big are we talking? Like, what do we want to do?
Yeah, so we know that this is the crucial decade for action, like, doing action in 10 years' time, we can't wait that long. And so what we are trying to do is to create a movement of over 30,000 women who move £1 billion for climate action. And £1 billion in the grand scheme of the financial ocean is a tiny drop. But for us as individuals, for everyday people to feel like, yeah, my money, my pension, my bank account went towards that £1 billion, that's a really galvanizing thing as an individual. And so what we're trying to do is create a movement of people who are demonstrating this is what we want, and we will vote with our money. We will put our money where our mouths are and actually do something about it. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to kind of take that individual action into a collective story about the power of what's possible and the power of women to lead that change.
And do banks actually listen to, like, or do institutions that have your money actually listen to what people think? Because this is the point in the conversation where it gets to that bit where I'm like, this feels big. Like, it feels maybe bigger than me as an individual. I'm not sure that my action or my voice makes that much of a difference in real time. Is that like a fallacy? Is it real life that, like, if we all just moved our pensions or not even move them, but just switch the kind of pension that we have, that banks would be like, oh, we're not going to do that anymore? Because surely, like, they're going to do it anyway, right? Or I would think anyway.
And this is the exciting thing, that these massive financial institutions who we often don't really, we feel like aren't listening to us, they are starting to sit up and listen and recognize that this is really mainstream. And so just recently, Lloyds, one of the mainstream high street banks in the UK, have publicly announced they were going to stop directly investing in fossil fuels. And that's huge for a high street bank to say, we're going to stop doing that. And no doubt the social pressure, banks are starting to realize, hey, we've got to do something. And same with other types of financial institutions.
Mm. There's something here we haven't mentioned, which is that in the past, it's not like people went to their pension providers, right? And were like, I would like you to please invest in the arms trade. It was that they went to their pension providers and said, I would like you to invest my money in a way that brings me the most return.
Yeah.
You know, what we're trying to do is make the conscious choice of saying, actually, I care about where it's invested and I want to move to green. Does that mean that we don't make as much money for retirements? Like, is that a concern that people have that you're working with?
I mean, that's definitely a concern. People worry that sustainable investing is less lucrative. But when you look at what long-term finances are, when you look at pensions, which, you know, for so many people, that's something that you won't be seeing the fruits of until decades and decades later. Actually, when it comes to that, fossil fuels are absolutely dead. You know, we know that we literally cannot keep expanding fossil fuels. And so when you look at long-term investing, they're a bad investment. And that's the tricky bit, that in the short term, sometimes these things, the kind of things that are good for the planet, don't look like they're making a return. But when it comes to investing, you're really looking at the long term. And, you know, things that are good for the planet are good for us in every way.
And now it's time for our climate confessions. Let's fess up to the bad habits we just can't kick. Do you have one that you would like to share?
Yeah, I mean, I always have one. I have the same ones, right? But I would say that my big one right now is that I am so easily influenced on TikTok to buy things. TikTok shop is like a devastating thing for me.
Yeah.
No, some of you have no idea what I'm talking about, but if you like, TikTok has this new feature, right? Where like basically they just sell you things through these videos, and at like 2 a.m. when you can't sleep and you're just on your, you know, 45 minutes of TikTok watching, you're just like, yeah, I'm just going to definitely need that sponge.
I do need that.
I need it. I'm going to get it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that my climate confession is, even though I don't buy like that from like Amazon.
Yeah.
I now do buy like that from like TikTok shop.
Okay. So, well,
there we go.
No surprises. No, I'm joking. That is bad.
Thanks.
I mean, well, we're not saying that you're not allowed to have new stuff.
Yeah, but I don't need that stuff.
Yeah, okay. Okay, we'll stop.
Right, over now that I've done it, over to you.
So I definitely have a bit of a takeaway habit.
Yes.
And so...
What kind of takeaway?
Oh, all of the kinds of takeaway, ooh, except Indian takeaway, because that's never going to beat my mom's food.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, give me a good Thai takeaway. Absolutely love it. And that's pretty bad, except I do always reuse the little plastic tubs that they come in.
Allegedly.
No, genuinely. I will wash up that takeaway tub. I promise.
I don't. So that's why I'm saying that.
So if you do reuse the tub, is that less? Does that mean takeaways aren't bad?
Oh.
So not, I'm not putting you on it here. I'm just Rosamund in the front row saying, no.
I mean, when someone's like driving across town to get you that takeaway, you know, and like that's not to mention the ethical side of it with the conditions that workers
are paid.
All right,
stop. That's enough. We've done enough here.
Thank you so much for joining us. Before we end, Annika, let me ask you, if people listening want to find out more, where do they go?
So you can go to wearemoneymovers.com to find out more about Money Movers. And the question you asked about earlier about, you know, what do people do if they want to actually take action tomorrow, today, tonight? I would recommend going to a couple of websites.
Great.
So Good With Money, Rate. Lots of different financial providers and kind of break it down in like simpler terms, as does Ethical Consumer. So you can actually figure out what isn't ethical, what is a sustainable pension.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'd really recommend is getting a buddy, someone to talk to about this, someone who you do this learning journey with and who, you know, in a week's time, you come back together and say, have you done anything? Yeah, I did. And then, oh, no, I didn't. You know, someone who's going to keep this front of mind for you.
Mm.
And then the third thing I say is there are some great financial advisors out there who are thinking about the planet, who are thinking about people. And so if those are big decisions you're making, there are people you can speak to who actually will literally just tell you the answers rather than you having to do all the work yourself.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
So much. Thank you for joining us this week. We really hope you enjoyed this episode.
If you did, please hit the follow button to make sure you get next week's release.
We are now officially crowdsourcing Climate Confessions, so please leave yours in the ratings and the reviews section, and we'll shout out for you next time. And shout out to our fabulous team behind the pod.
This episode was produced by Josie Coulter.
Comms written by Tess Lowry.
Artwork designed by Rebecca Mingus.
Curation by Mariam Pasha.
Mixed and engineered by Ben Beheshti.
Music also by Ben Beheshti.
Presented by Ben Hurst
and Mariam Pasha. Remember, stay curious.